How markets may not have digested America First with regard to trade. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The key stock indicators were up in early trading. For instance, the Dow was up about 19 points a half hour into trading. That's about a 10%. Financial services powerhouse Goldman Sachs suggests that markets are somehow not taking all that seriously protectionist talk from the new presidential administration. The Goldman analysis looks at a number of Asian companies from Kia Motors to the computer company Acer and suggests that changes implied by new trade policy have not been factored into stock prices. Why is the question? Michael Hewson is chief analyst at CMC Markets. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
From your perspective, have market participants fully reckoned with the notion of a Trump administration that's going to lower the boom on trade, particularly from Asia?
No, I certainly don't think that is the case. I think at the moment, Mr. Trump is saying an awful lot of things with respect to tax and regulation that the markets are still, I think, hanging their hats on large-scale tax cuts.
But do you see market participants taking seriously this discussion from the very top at the White House that there may be restrictions at borders? You're saying they're focused on the tax policy, but what about the trade policy?
The trade policy certainly isn't being priced in completely at the moment. You can see that reflected probably more in the US dollar than it is actually in equity markets. The dollar is down significantly from its highs, and I think there's been an awful lot of commentators who've been making the case that a border tax could actually push the dollar up. We're certainly not seeing that reflected in the way the dollar's performing at the moment. It actually does look a little bit soft.
So you see market participants making bets that some of the more hardline rhetoric on trade won't be translated into actual policy?
I think what Mr. Trump wants to do and what Republicans in Congress will let him do are two totally different things. And yes, he's signed executive orders to pull out of TPP and to renegotiate NAFTA. But ultimately, those are the only things that he's done at this point in time. When it comes to the rest of what he intends to do, he needs to get it past Republicans in Congress. And I'm suggesting that markets don't think that's a given.
Analyst Michael Hewson at CMC Markets in London. President Trump has selected Ajit Pai, a Republican member of the Federal Communications Commission, to be that agency's new chair. Pai is an opponent of what are called network neutrality rules, which try to prevent internet data providers from giving special fancy service to their preferred content partners. From the Marketplace Washington Bureau, our Adam Allington can tell us more about Mr. Pai.
He's a telecommunications lawyer who served on the FCC since 2012. Before that, he was general counsel at Verizon for a few years before moving over to work as a staffer at the Senate. Pai's a big advocate of free markets and has been very critical of new regulations adopted by Democrats in recent years.
Now, these net neutrality rules, remind us what those rules did and what it would mean if Mr. Pai worked to get rid of them.
Net neutrality is the idea that all traffic on the internet should be treated equally. For instance, Verizon or Comcast can't prioritize their own content over others or create fast or slow lanes on the internet. Chris Lewis is the vice president of Public Knowledge, a consumer advocacy group. He says any move to repeal the rules would face significant opposition.
They're wildly popular and they're wildly successful, both through the court and also in the marketplace, allowing for great amounts of competition and innovation to continue. So there'll be a lot of opposition.
A federal appeals court has already upheld the rules last year after a legal challenge from AT&T. Removing the regulations now would first need to go through the FCC's formal rulemaking process, which takes some time.
Adam, thank you. A conference to discuss climate change hurting public health is off, at least for now. The Centers for Disease Control has put out the word. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
With climate change, a lot of attention goes to structural concerns, like the need to deal with rising sea levels. But Regina Shi of the RAND Corporation says there are myriad health effects, too.
Temperature-related death and illness. There are also air quality impacts. We've seen increases in Zika as well as other vector-borne diseases.
Plus water-related sickness, food security. She's got a long list. It's a lot of things the CDC typically worries about. Howard Frumkin is a former director of the National Center for Environmental Health at the CDC.
This is basic bread and butter public health. Anticipate the hazard, understand how the hazard operates, and then protect people. If we pull the plug on that, then people are at risk.
Frumkin's worried politics pushed CDC leadership to cancel its Climate and Health Summit. In a written statement, the agency said it's considering rescheduling, but that it's also considering budget priorities. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
The highest court in Britain today ruled that the UK Parliament must get the chance to vote on whether or not to start the formal process of pulling Britain out of the EU. The BBC's Philip Hampshire filed this for us.
In an 8-3 ruling, judges said Prime Minister Theresa May can't fire the starting pistol on Britain's withdrawal from the European Union simply using an executive decree. The move is a setback for her Conservative government. The main opposition party, Labour, has said they will support government plans to start the Brexit process, known formally as triggering Article 50. While that should mean the Brexit vote sails through Parliament, there are complications. Labour will stick amendments on any bill. If there are amendments both sides disagree on, the fragile cooperation could collapse, putting the brakes on Brexit.
By the way, the barrister, the courtroom lawyer who won the case at the British High Court today, is named David Panick, P-A-N-N-I-C-K, if you're taking notes. Lord Panick argues the big cases for businesses, for human rights, and in at least one case for the Queen. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.